As I say, we do want to honor those, all of you that were in the armed forces and served, and give you our thanks, and especially those who gave it all. So we're thankful for them. So a couple just clean up. They're passing out the constitutions today, passing them out next week. Next week after church, there'll be a short little teaching seminar on what we're doing and how to do it. And then the week after that, there'll be voting. You'll be voting on each individual part with changes. So there may be some changes you say yes. There may be some changes you say no. But that'll be the 3 week or 2 weeks from today. So you got it today. Pass them out. Talk about it at the end of the church next week, and then the next week be voting on those items. So I did have a thankful, but my brother and sister-in-law is in town from San Antonio, so it's nice to have them in town this week. Bronx and deer with them. I don't think they hunt deer like we do, or they do, but they have an infestation of deer down there where they live. Like they've blocked them all in, and kind of the area between all the houses is where all the deers live. They live out in the flower beds and the bushes and shrubs outside your house down there. So he had an infestation of squirrels in Ohio when he lived there. I never seen so many gray squirrels, and they're everywhere. Now he's got a deer infestation in Texas, Troy and Dana. So we're glad to have them up and come. So again, Memorial Day, you know, remember those who sacrificed everything so we can have the freedom we have today, at least in this country, but they fought for others as well. And, you know, we've got memorials and monuments to remember their actions and their bravery. We've got holidays like today to actually take time to honor and offer respect to those that gave it all. But, you know, it's not new. You know, how many memorials and altars did biblical people build? They've set up to remember what happened and in a point in time and who did what and things. You know, many times people were reminded of what God did for them in the past and where he had taken them and where they came from and where they needed to go and how they had been saved from slavery of all kinds. You know, he did it to free them. You know, they would set up stones. Even crossing the Jordan, they set up stones on the other side as a remembrance of making that move, going into what God promised them. And you get the word free, and sometimes people lose their minds a little bit on the word free. We don't quite understand, or we think it's different what it is. You know, I looked up some of the definitions. You know, one of them says, not under the control or in power of another. And that may be true of slavery if you don't actually have to, you know, as we know it from history, and that you're not under that control, under that thumb, under that taskmaster, so to speak. Then that's a freedom. But we are under the influence of one of two entities. You know, everyone is. You're either under the influence of God or you're under the influence of Satan. So you still have to fight slavery today because you're a slave to one or the other. And again, as we've talked before, you can't ride the fence because Satan owns the fence. So, you know, if you're either for Satan, whether you're with him or on the fence, or you're for God. But one of those are influencing you each and every day. And what you do will probably show that. Another one was able to act or be done as one wishes. Well, that's what the world tells us. That's freedom. Just do whatever you want, when you want, how you want, however you want. So that's kind of a lie that we can do or act however we want. That's just simply not true. That's not free. That's not freedom. Another one was cost without payment. Not sure there is such a thing. Not sure that definition even exists. Free doesn't mean totally free. There was a cost. But we use the word free a lot. Commercials offer, you know, you buy this, we'll throw this one in absolutely free. Not only that, but this other thing, we'll throw it in too, absolutely free. And then we'll give you free shipping. You know, but call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you all this stuff. BOGO. BOGO's the term. Buy one, get one. You buy one, we'll give you one free. Kids eat free. You know, it's not free. It's discounted. It's not free. The price may be lower per piece. It's not free. Somebody's still making something. Somebody still costs them to make it. It's not free. See so many countries and people, you know, governments looking, you know, free health care, free education. You know, come and get this, you know, this medical shot or this scan. It's free. It doesn't cost you any. It won't cost you anything. You know, come and pick up your free copy of this or free copy of that. Come and enjoy the celebration. It's free to get in. You know, people see the word free and brain activity just changes. Got to have that. They just know they want it. But nothing is free. It's hard to get people to understand. Sometimes nothing is free. Someone paid a price for it. There's a cost to it. You know, even we talk about the free gift of salvation. You know, the Lord gives it to us. But it costs. Cost Christ something. Cost God something. You know, we used to sing a song, Freedom Isn't Free. Remember that song? I haven't heard it since I was a kid, I don't think. You know, freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. You got to pay the price. You got to sacrifice for your liberty. Anybody even sing that anymore? Seems like I was younger when I used to always sing that song. But again, many men and women have done that. And again, we honor them today. We remember them today. You know, they laid foundations and they kept them for us today. They've kept us to where we have a place where we can be. They felt the United States of America and the people of this country were worth fighting for. So we remember soldiers who gave their lives and paid the price for freedom that we have in this country. And like I say, others, they fought for freedom for others too. But we also have one, Jesus, who gave his life so we can have freedom from what the world offers. Freedom from sin, freedom from death. And we don't have to face separation from God. We have that freedom that he's given us. But again, it came with a cost, came with a price. Got just a few verses today. John 10, verses 14 through 18. Says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not the sheep, not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Christ laid down his life for each and every one of us. You know, and a soldier in a way did. He chose, knowing the risk, to go into service. He chose sometimes to put his life on the line. Sometimes he chose to step in the path of danger for a fellow soldier. He gave his life too. But each one gave their life so every other person could have an opportunity to have life and to have a life. You know, each of us for Christ, you know, we've got to choose to accept his work on the cross. But his death and his atonement and what he did, his sacrifice, gives us the choice to accept life in him. We have that opportunity. That's what his sacrifice did. It gave us the opportunity to accept him, to be part of God's family. You know, know, 1 John 3:16. You know John 3:16. This is 1 John 3:16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, to show the love that God showed us by giving us his son, he asked us to lay down our lives for others. You know, maybe that sounds a little scary. Life can be a little scary. God tells us to be, how many times, to be courageous. You know, be courageous. And I remind you that courage isn't the absence of fear. It's continuing to go on and doing what's needed despite fear. That's courage. You know, there are times when it may be our physical lives that's in danger by giving our lives. But it's also our day-to-day lives that he's asking for. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know, he asks us to do a living sacrifice. You know, we're to give up ourselves for the betterment of others. You know, give up things in our lives so that others can enrich their lives. They can be better. You know, all with the purpose, though, of letting them know about Christ and what he offers. You know, there's a purpose in it, giving our lives all for the salvation of others and ultimately for God's glory. That's what we're supposed to give up our lives for. Give up, put others first. Put others in a position to understand salvation and what that is and what that means. To get a couple of stories from searching, and I wanted to share them. You may have heard these before. I don't know. If not, maybe you've forgotten them. But just a couple of stories. Many years ago, Al Capone virtually owned Chicago. Now, Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic. He was notorious for enmeshing the Windy City and everything from bootleg to booze and prostitution to murder. And Capone had a lawyer named Easy Eddie. Now, he was a lawyer for good reason. Eddie was very good. He was a good lawyer. In fact, Eddie's skill at legal maneuvering kept Big Al out of jail for a long time. And to show his appreciation, Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, but Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all of the conveniences of that day. And the estate was so large that it filled an entire Chicago city block. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob and gave little consideration to the atrocity that went on around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however. He had a son that he loved dearly. And Eddie saw to it that his young son had the best of everything, clothes, cars, good education. Nothing was withheld. Price was no object. And despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach him right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be a better man than he was. Yet with all of his wealth and influence, there were two things he couldn't pass on to his son: a good name and a good example. One day, Eddie reached a difficult decision. Eddie wanted to rectify wrongs he had done. So he decided he would go to the authorities and tell them the truth about Al Scarface Capone, clean up his tarnished name, and offer his son some semblance of integrity. Now, to do this, he would have to testify against the mob, and he knew that the cost would be great. So he testified. Within the year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire in a lonely Chicago street. But in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price he would ever pay. So Eddie, I know that Eddie had freedom, but he tried to give his family and his son freedom. It cost him his life, but he sacrificed so his son and his family could be free to make different choices. Live a better life. You know, sacrifices are made for others and to make others actually have a better life or actually be better by an example given. You know, sacrifices are generally somewhat painful. They cost something, but worth it for changed lives. And I think, don't we have an obligation to change for those who made the sacrifice? It's for us. What are we going to do with it? Another short story. You know, World War II produced a lot of heroes. One such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. Now, he was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. These are true stories, by the way. One day, his entire squadron was sent on a mission. After he was airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgot to top off his fuel tank. He would not have enough fuel to complete his mission and get back to his ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier. Reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As he was returning to the mothership, he saw something that turned his blood cold. A squadron of Japanese aircraft were speeding their way towards the American fleet. Well, the American fighters were gone on a sortie, and the fleet was all but defenseless. And he couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back in time to save the fleet. Nor could he warn the fleet of the approaching danger. There was only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. So laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove into the formation of Japanese planes. Wing-mounted 50 calibers blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another. Butch wove in and out of the now broken formation and fired at as many planes as possible until his ammunition was finally spent. Undauntedly, he continued the assault. He dove at the planes, trying to clip a wing or a tail in hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible and rendering them unfit to fly. Finally, the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Deeply relieved, Butch O'Hare and his tattered fighter limped back to the carrier. Upon arrival, he reported in and related the events surrounding his return. The film from the gun camera mounted in on the plane told the tale. It showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect his fleet. He had, in fact, destroyed 5 enemy aircraft. This took place on February the 20th, 1942. And for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II. And the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. Says his hometown would not allow the memory of his World War II hero to fade. And today, O'Hare Airport in Chicago is a tribute to the courage of this great man. So the next time you find yourself at O'Hare International, give some thought to visiting Butch's memorial displaying his statue and his Medal of Honor. It says it's located between Terminals 1 and 2. I don't know if it's still there or not, but at least at one time it was. So again, the escape of the fleet and the freedom that they had, you know, cost somebody a price. By the way, Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. So it made a difference. We're going to have an invitation time, as we always do, in just a few minutes. I want to finish out, you know, sacrifices are made. You know, we set up memorials and statues and holidays to remember people who made them. We remember Christ and his sacrifice when we have communion. We remember what he did. But what do we do with them? They gave of themselves with a conviction and a desire to defend and protect the people and land they cared about. They not only wanted to sustain the way of life they had, but to make a better one available. Christ did the same. He died to give us life, and life abundant. That begins now, if you accept Christ. But again, what are we doing with it? Are we appreciative of the sacrifices made by people, by Christ? Are we remembering? Are we progressing? Or have we let it fade away? Are the sacrifices still meaningful? You know, worst of all, are we squandering it away? Are we throwing away the opportunities given to us by those who gave so much for us? Are we letting those get away from us? Did they matter? If we aren't acting on them and furthering them, then maybe we need to re-examine our lives. End with one more verse, 2 Corinthians 3:17. So now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's only one true freedom, and that's freedom in Christ. Freedom that we have in Christ. And it says the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. Jesus will give you a freedom. Now again, are you wasting opportunities provided for you, or are you building on what has been given to you? You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Faith, we sometimes call that. Lists a lot of names there. You know, again, we've got monuments with names of those who sacrificed for it. You know, it's been in wars and things. God also has a list of names kept, many of who gave everything. You can read about them in chapter 11. They were faithful despite all the obstacles. You know, and narrow it down to verse 38, says the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. God calls to us to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. Are you living a life worthy? Will it matter to someone else? Will it matter in God's kingdom? Those that sacrificed for you that we remember today have given you the opportunity to do that. Don't squander it. Let's pray. Father, your word is strong.